Welcome to day 15 of Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter at a time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. So good to be with you again as we are in Genesis chapter 10 on this 15th day of our three-year reading plan to read through the whole Bible, one chapter at a time. And we have some genealogy today. Let's pray and ask the Lord's help before we dig into His Word together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for all of Your Word, which is true and living and active and tells us who You are and reveals to us of Your sovereignty. We pray that as we read Genesis 10 today, You would help us to be attentive and focused and to see what You would communicate to us in the truth of who You are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 10. These are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodinim. From these, the coastland people spread in their lands, each with his own language, by their clans in their nations. The sons of Ham, Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, Sabtika. The sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. Cush fathered Nimrod. He was the first on earth to be a mighty man. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calna, in the land of Shinar. From that land he went into Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth-ir, Calla, and Rezin, between Nineveh and Calla, that is, the great city. Egypt fathered Ludim, Anamim, Lebahim, Lehaban, Naphtuhim, Pathrushim, Kas, Lahim, from whom the Philistines came, and Kaphtorim. Canaan fathered Sidon, and his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Arkites, the Sinites, the Ardavites, Arvadites, the Zemarites, and the Hamathites. Afterward, the clans of the Canaanites dispersed, and the territory of the Canaanites extended from Sidon in the direction of Gerar, as far as Gaza, and in the direction of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, as far as Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations. To Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the elder brother of Japheth, children were born. The sons of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arpachshad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arpachshad fathered Shelah, and Shelah fathered Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan fathered Almodad, Sheleph, Hazarmaveth, Jera, Hadaram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All of these were the sons of Joktan. The territory in which they lived extended from Mesha, in the direction of Shephar, to the hill country of the east. These are the sons of Shem, by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations. These are the clans of the sons of Noah, according to their genealogies, in their nations, and from these nations spread abroad on the earth after the flood. Well, we come to a list of names, and I'm used to reading a lot of names in the Bible, and even some of these I stumbled over a little bit. There's a lot of names here. What is going on in this chapter? Well, God is telling us two things, I think, primarily. One is, He's showing us how all the people of the earth spread out as descendants from the three sons of Noah. So the sons of Japheth, they really become the peoples who spread out to the north, to Turkey, Asia Minor, that area, who end up in Europe as well. And the sons of Ham, they go to the south, to Cush, Egypt, Put, and they also stay in the land of Canaan, which is later going to be the land of Israel. And then you have the sons of Shem, who end up to the east in Arabia, in Iraq, in Iran, those areas over to the east. So we see that all the peoples of the earth really have been spread out from these three sons of Noah. The other thing we see is that the Lord is sovereign over all the peoples of the earth. Now, this would have been a very bold and very radical statement in the ancient world context in which God gave the book of Genesis. We, of course, are used to what we call monotheism. There's one God who's the Lord over all things. But hardly anybody would have believed that in Moses' day, when, remember, Moses is the one who writes down Genesis and gives it to the people of Israel as they're coming out of Egypt. They're coming out of Egypt, which is a context of polytheism. There's many gods, and each of the gods has sort of a very specific responsibility. And later what develops is this idea of territorial gods. So there's a god who is the sovereign over this particular people in this place, and this other god is the lord over this other particular people in this place. And battles were really seen as contest between the gods. So the god of Baal, who was a god of the Canaanites, and the god of the Philistines, they are really the ones who conflict with each other, who clash when the Canaanites and the Philistines go to war against each other. Well, that's not God. Those are false gods, of course, we know that. But there's a way in which God is speaking through Genesis 10 and saying, all the peoples of the earth, comprehensively, all of them, no matter where they are, no matter how far spread out they are all descendants of my covenant that I made with Noah after the flood, and I see them all, and I know them all, and I am Lord over them all. Today we have kind of a modified version of the same thinking that's prevalent in the world, which is the idea, well, Jesus, he's the God for the Christian people. But if you're a Muslim person, then of course Muhammad is your prophet and Allah is your God. And then, of course, if you're a Hindu person, you have a whole pantheon of gods that you might choose from. Or if you're a Buddhist and you're a devout Buddhist, you might worship Buddha as your savior. And, you know, everybody has their own god, and those gods are sort of gods over those people. And those people are devoted to them. And so we as Christians, we're devoted to Jesus and, you know, God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and the Trinity. But that's just sort of our God. And, you know, he's good to us and he saves us, but other people may have other gods according to their other different religions. No. No, that's the Bible will not allow for that way of thinking or that worldview. There is one God who is the Lord over the whole earth, and he knows all the people on the earth. Most of the people on this list did not acknowledge Yahweh as their God. But God knew them. God placed them. God ruled over them. And so this shows us this sovereignty of God over all of the affairs of the earth. And finally, it also shows us the preservation of God's line. It's not by accident that Shem and his line comes last. You'll often see this in these genealogy lists, that where God is at work to bring redemption through the line that will eventually lead to the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, that line often comes last, because God is saying there are all these people all over the world, these people there and those people there and these, and I am sovereign over all of them, and I know who all they are, all of them are, and I know where they live, and I rule over it all, but these are my people. These are the people that I'm preserving in a particular way, not because of who they are, but because of who will come through their line, and that is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for preserving the promised line that led to the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, to be born to Joseph and Mary. Father, we thank you that you are the sovereign Lord over all the earth and over all peoples. Help us to acknowledge that. Help us to not think of different religions as having their different gods and all being equally valid, but help us to think as your word teaches us to think, that you are the one true God who reigns over all, that you are supreme and to be worshipped by every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, for you are Lord over every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. To your name alone be glory, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow we're going to be moving on to day 16 of our reading, and that's going to take us back to the New Testament. We're going to jump back to Matthew chapter 4, where we're going to talk about the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. Hope to see you then. Have a blessed day in the Lord.